Good morning and welcome back to the Roundtable and to our book pick segment. We have been welcoming a few new independent bookstores this year to our book picks family. And this morning, we welcome to for the second time the Bennington Bookshop back to the fold. After spending lots of time reading dozens of books and studying up, owner Phil Lewis joins us this Tuesday morning with a wonderful list of books. I was just complimenting him on the good-looking nature of all of these volumes. And it's a great great thrill to have you back on the program.
Well, thank you very much, Joe.
For coming back. Nice to have you aboard. So where would you like to begin, sir?
Okay, well, the first book on my list is The Last Painting of Sarah DeVos by Dominic Smith. And really, this is such a satisfying read. The story spans three time periods and three locations. First off is 17th century Amsterdam, when Sarah DeVos becomes the first woman to be admitted to the Artists Guild. Then 1950s New York, when an expatriate Australian student is corrupted by a shady art dealer and charmed by a wealthy lawyer, Marty de Groot, who just happens to be the descendant of the original owner of what is thought to be DeVos's last painting back in the 1700s. Finally, Sydney in 2000, when the guilt of the past comes back to haunt. It's a fabulous book, beautifully written, rich characters, and a level of suspense that captivates.
Beautiful book, and it is, the title again is?
The Last Painting of Sarah DeVos.
The Last Painting of Sarah DeVos by Dominic Smith, and now out. Next up.
Okay, my grandmother asked me to tell you she's sorry. This has recently come out in paperback. So it takes a little patience to get into this one, but I loved his earlier novel, A Man Called Over, so persevered with this one when the first few chapters seemed a little slow. And I'm so glad I did. Chapter 14 just blew me away, and I wouldn't have made sense of it if I hadn't persevered with the earlier chapters.
Okay, so you can get to chapter 14. And all's good.
All's good. It's really good. It's a beautiful book about the complexity of relationships, delves deeply into people's experiences and how they shape the way they are perceived by those around them. And it explores difference and the stigma so often attached to it. And the author Riley observes that if a sufficient number of people are different, no one has to be normal. It's a great read. I loved it.
It is My Grandmother Asked Me to Tell You She's Sorry by Frederick Backman. All right.
Okay, next on the list is All Is Not Forgotten by Wendy Walker. And this is a sneak preview. The book doesn't come out till July. And I'm not sure how to classify it, whether it's a mystery or a thriller or simply a reflection on small town life. It's got politics, illicit affairs, reputations at risk, everything. The story begins with a brutal rape, but this isn't portrayed graphically in any way at all, just simply reported as fact. And the victim, Jenny, is treated with a radical new medication that wipes out her memory, but leaves her anxious and despairing. After attempting suicide, Jenny receives therapy sessions with a local counsellor and slowly begins to recover her memory of the event. The story is told from the therapist's point of view, and he's also treating Jenny's father, who becomes obsessed with finding the rapist, and Jenny's mother, who's coming to terms with an affair she had as a child. The structure of the book's a little unusual at first, so it takes a moment or two to get the hang of it, but it's a thrilling read, and I just couldn't put it down. I read it in one sitting.
What is it about the structure? Is it just the going back and forth, or...?
It's talking...
I know that's a tough question to answer without like giving things away. I know that.
Because it's from the therapist's point of view, and at the beginning of the book, it's not identified as being the therapist. So it just takes a while.
A little puzzle quality.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. But it's a thrilling read.
All right. It is All Is Not Forgotten by Wendy Walker.
Okay, and then the next one on my list is Between the World and Me, and this is actually a Linda pick. I haven't read this book, I must confess. It's facing us in the bookshop all the time. I keep picking it up, and I just haven't had a moment to get to it. But Linda just loved this book. She says, Ta-Nehisi Coates writes a letter to his son and offers a poignant view for understanding our nation's racial history and current crisis. So Coates explores the idea of race and suggests that the idea is a falsehood that damages us all, but most heavily falls on the bodies of black women and men. Linda says it's a powerful and challenging read, a book that should be read more than once and shared with all those who seek a new understanding. It's deservedly been on the bestseller list for months, and is particularly relevant now when we have discussion of social justice issues and Black Lives Matter and all those sort of things. So a very, very powerful read.
It is a powerful read and has been a long-time bestseller. And it is entitled Between the World and Me. Next.
Okay, The Guest Room by Chris Bohjalian. Okay, so starts with Richard Carter throwing a party, a bachelor party, for his irresponsible younger brother. And his safe, Carter's safe suburban life with his wife, daughter, house, career is torn apart as a result of the events at this party. Before the party's over, there are two people dead, and Richard's left battling to save his marriage, the respect of his daughter, and his job. Interspersed with Richard's story is the story of Alexandra, an Armenian sex slave closely guarded and chaperoned by the Russian mob. We learn how she was tricked into her role, trafficked, manipulated, and controlled until... but you'll have to read the book to find out.
Okay, all right, all right. It is The Guest Room by Chris Bohjalian, a fellow Vermonter.
Yes.
And yes. Good stuff all the way around. The Guest Room by Chris Bohjalian. Next.
Okay, and this is another Lindner pick. It's Be Frank With Me by Julia Claiborne Johnson. She says the book grabs you from the very first pages with its humor, heart, and compassion. Frank's an extremely intelligent 11-year-old boy who loves 1930s clothes and movies. He lives with his mother, Mimi, a recluse and renowned author who's struggling to finish her next novel. Alice is sent by the publishing house to assist Mimi and monitor her progress on the novel. Alice quickly becomes Frank's full-time nanny and confidant. The story explores universal themes of family, love and loss, and belonging. The characters are charming and will stay with you long after you've finished the book.
The name of the book is Be Frank With Me by Julia Claiborne Johnson. Next, we come to a book which is out today and that I just finished. And I am still stunned.
It's a stunning book.
It is.
The Gene, An Intimate History by Siddhartha Mukherjee. So Mukherjee begins his treatise on genes with a reflection on the hereditary nature of mental illness, documenting the breakdowns of two of his uncles and a cousin. So it's a very personal story to begin with. And from this platform, he launches into a great sweep of history in the study of inheritance, from the early Greek philosophers through to Mendel, Darwin, and the scientists of the 20th century who finally revealed the structure of DNA. Along the way, Mukherjee describes the origin of the word gene and its role at the heart of genetics, eugenics, and the human genome. This is a fabulous read, fascinating and insightful. The science is described in approachable language, and the historical perspectives give us pause to reflect on where we now stand as we grapple with the philosophical challenges of what it means to be human.
The Gene, An Intimate History by Siddhartha Mukherjee, and it is out today from Scribner. And then last but certainly not least.
Okay, finally we have Lost and Gone Forever by Alex Grecian. Neville Hammersmith owns a private detective agency in the 1800s London, but the only crime he investigates is the disappearance of his friend Walter Day, who has been missing for a year. Hammersmith suspects that Day is being held by Jack the Ripper. Meanwhile, the day-to-day running of the detective agency falls to his secretary, Eugenia Marillo, and the ambitious Hattie Pitt. Hammersmith continues his search for Day, and while he's so occupied, one by one, the members of a secretive society are being murdered. What's the connection between their deaths and Day's disappearance? A mysterious pair of assassins appears to complicate matters. This is a well-constructed story, definitely worth reading, and just another historical mystery.
The name of the book is Lost and Gone Forever by Alex Grecian. Anything else you would like to mention? Anything coming up at the bookstore?
We have an author event this Thursday evening with Brian Adams. He's written his new book, Kaboom, is out just recently, and he'll be reading from the book. It's a love story for young adults. And I'd just also like to mention that our website, we have a link to reviews and recommendations where we feature probably 50 or so short reviews of books just so people can get a taste of what a book is about. So if you're looking for something to read, there's a good place to start. And if you'd like to sign up for our newsletter, just send me an email. It's phil@benningtonbookshop.com.
phil@benningtonbookshop.com. And for more information on the Bennington Bookshop in Bennington, Vermont, you can go to their website, benningtonbookshop.com. You can also, and this is free, this is a free invitation to anyone, you can actually visit them right there in Bennington, right on the main drag.
We love people dropping in to say hello.
And you can find that information at BenningtonBookshop.com. You can find Phil's list on that site as well as on our website, WAMC.org/roundtable, WAMC.org/roundtable. Phil Lewis, a great pleasure. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joe.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.